we can go either one extreme or the other, but it's important to have honest communication. And we're going through a period of tension, and I think it's temporary. Hopefully it's temporary, because points of tension usually are. Points of tension are points in history which is approaching a leap forward. And that's what I think we're at right now, if we don't blow ourselves up. First, with a war with North Korea or Russia, we have an opportunity to leap forward, but before any great leap forward, there has to be a point of tension. And you know, the Civil War, where we fought to the North and the South, was a great point of tension, but then we had a great leap forward by freeing the slaves and more civil rights and all these things. Now we're going through another point of tension right now. Hopefully we can have a leap forward. But in the one-to-one relationship, honesty is extremely important. Now let's suppose that you had a visitation from an angel or God himself. Some supreme being came down and he told you that certain things were going to happen. Would you believe that? You would, wouldn't you? Well, why? Maybe God's just pulling a trick on you. But we want to believe that the supernatural forces that's under the control of God are honest. If they were to tell us something, we could believe it. We want to, that's important. Our relationship with God is based on honesty. That he, whatever we're told, it will be the truth. And this is what we must be. If we are not that way, then we cannot have association with these type of spiritual powers. And if we make every word that we say true, then we are taking a step toward liberation. And this is one of the most important ingredients of establishing a sound relationship is honesty. Honesty at the on the emotional level, for instance. If your feelings get hurt, you will admit it. Now, the natural tendency of hurt of with our feelings is in a relationship, sooner or later, you're going to step on your partner's feelings. And when you do, they will respond two ways. They will react, or three ways, perhaps. They will react and attack you back and hurt your feelings even more, and then it goes in a vicious circle. Or else you might think, well, that was kind of silly for me to feel hurt over this. I'm evolved enough that I shouldn't feel hurt. Therefore, I'm just going to let it go. Now, if you say this when your feelings are disturbed, then they will fester. This causes a lot of problems. What happens? If this happens again and again, it's like producing a pot that's going to boil over because of the pressure. Okay? Because the pressure gets stronger and stronger, you get hurt again and again, and you keep ignoring these feelings, and then pretty soon you will just explode. Have you ever been in a relationship where you said just the smallest thing and the person blew up and you thought, boy, what was that about? You know, and this happens. This is because that wasn't the first time their feelings were hurt. Maybe it was the 10th time, but they didn't let you know about it.
JJ, what if you really can ignore it and it goes away? Like, he hurts your feelings and you know your feelings are hurt, but you don't say anything. And the hurt goes away. You forget it after a while. There's no buildup of resentment then.
Well, if you really suppress it, there will be a buildup. Now, somebody can insult you, and you may let it go because it doesn't really bother you that much.
Right.
Yeah, that, no harm done there. But if it really bothers you, then you have to do something about it. Now, if it really bothers you, you can do three things. You can go strangle the guy and then you'll feel a lot better for 5 minutes. Or you can pretend like it never happened. You can say, no big deal. And then let it fester. Or you can tell him how you feel. You can say, when you said this, this really hurt my feelings. That's just the way I am. I'm sorry, but it hurt my feelings. Then you're communicating how you feel, and then you release the negativity, and then it goes to him, and if he accepts responsibility, it dissipates into the ethers. If he doesn't accept responsibility, if he feels offended, then he'll carry this cloud on him. So what you need to do is release the cloud. Because, like I say, if you're honest about it, say, you said this, it hurt my feelings, and then he does not take responsibility, he will have a cloud resting on him. You can see it. I've seen this happen a number of times in my relationships. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just curious, do you need to tell the person, or can you recognize it in yourself? So I'm feeling upset about this, but I can see that there's maybe extenuating circumstances.
If you have a grievance, you need to tell the person.
Okay.
Now, what if you don't have the opportunity to tell that person?
Well, then you just acknowledge it to yourself best you can and don't let it happen again. But just pretend like the person's there and tell them nothing else. Like, I think Lorraine asked me, what if the person dies one time? But if the person dies, you can go to their grave and speak to them as if they're there. And that will release quite a bit.
But it's important to get rid of this emotional energy that hangs over us. Now then on the mental side, there's mental honesty, but the mental and emotional are very interconnected. So it's important that we have a mental honesty as well as an emotional honesty. But the mental honesty doesn't... the mind affects our emotions, but the emotions don't affect our minds as much as the mind affects our emotions. So we can control our emotions with our minds. And like, say, one of the ways we can do this is when the emotions are affected, so there's a grievance. And this is what we want to avoid more than anything else, is a grievance. And a grievance comes through denial or suppression or pretending that a hurt doesn't exist. And so in a relationship, it's important to have this honest communication on the mental level and the emotional level so that you don't have these grievances appear. If we have sometimes a grievance will appear in a relationship and stay there for years, mm-hmm. and it will interfere with the thing. Now, a big grievance could be somebody having an affair or maybe just flirting too much or something like this, but a big grievance can last for a long period of time, and it can only be solved through honest communication. Saying, boy, when you did this, it made me feel this way, it's going to take me a little while to adjust, but I'll do my best. And if you can't work it out, then sometimes divorce is the best thing. If you two are so far apart that you can't reach union, then a divorce is the best way out. And it's interesting, in the Bible, there's a scripture that says, well, Jesus says a man should not divorce his wife except for the cause of fornication. And it's interesting, it uses the word fornication. It doesn't use the word adultery, but it uses the word fornication. And so what does that mean? Why did Jesus use the word fornication? It's because in the Old Testament, which he was referring to, fornication meant that your heart was alienated from your spouse. And in the revelations to Israel, Israel was often sometimes accused of fornication against God. because they switched from God to worshiping idols, so they were accused of being unfaithful to God and fornication against God. What Jesus was really saying is that the cause of divorce, the justification for divorce, is when your spouse's heart is alienated from yourself. If your hearts are alienated, then divorce is justified. If your hearts are not alienated, then you shouldn't divorce a person whose heart is with you, because that produces a lot of problems. And if the heart is still there with you, and you accepted it to begin with, then you should do everything you can to stay with that person. But if the heart becomes alienated, so you can't support each other, then sometimes divorce is the best way to go, so that you can move on. Okay, any questions before we move ahead? Well, let's end this by doing this eye-to-eye exercise.
I love this one.
Yeah, we haven't done an exercise for a while. What we'll do is just spend a couple minutes looking in the eyes of another person. Let's do this male to female. So pick somebody and look at them and see if you can see their souls.
It's a little personal. Do you have to pick, like, if you're a spouse, you pick each other, or do you have to pick a stranger?
Yeah, don't pick your spouse. Pick somebody outside your spouse. Just to make it interesting.
Look at someone's eyes and see
what
if you
do.
Can find their
soul. Is you look at each other's eyes for about just a couple minutes and register what you see. Try to figure out what the person is thinking or feeling, or maybe some characteristics they have. Something different.
My dad and I tried that one time.
Well, everybody's perfectly matched here.